Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
We've got three sessions. The first session, Michael and Suzette will be doing for us. Second session, Sean Saville will be speaking. And then the third session, we're going to be doing a Q&A with a bunch of people where you guys can ask whatever questions you want, obviously in boundaries. So if you do have any questions for the sessions, please write them down or just hold them. Let the people finish speaking, and then you can ask the questions in the Q&A. Okay, so our first two speakers, if I can say that, is Michael and Suzette. For those who don't know them, I've pretty much seen from when they were both single to dating, married, and now they have a beautiful daughter, Emma, as well. And they're going to be tag teaming tonight. This is honestly a couple that I know puts hard effort into continuously pursuing Christ in all aspects of relationships. And we've seen it in their lives, and I didn't ask them to come and speak because I just chose someone random. I chose them because they set the example for everyone. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to use them to help us understand how to pursue Christ in different relationships. And we break that tendency that we only pursue Christ when we're single. We pursue Christ when we're married, when we're engaged, when we have kids, when we're grandparents as well. So I don't actually have words that can introduce a great couple like this. So Michael and Suzette, you guys can come up.
Great stuff, guys. Hi. This is such a nice season. I just want to thank Josh for giving us this hospital pass. It's amazing. No, I'm joking. It's really a privilege. It's really a privilege for us to be here. My name is Michael, and this is my beautiful wife, Suzette. And our lovely daughter, Emma, is sleeping next door, and let's pray that she remains in that state. Okay. That'll be wonderful. Okay. I just want to get a feeling. Just for who's in the audience here tonight, so that we can judge what we, because otherwise we're going to talk about things that are maybe not relevant. So, how many single people do we have tonight? Okay, everybody take a good hand. That was quick. Okay. Okay. And the people in relationships? No. In a relationship. Okay. Then do we have married people? There's no one married, really, hey? There's one. And engaged? Yeah, good. Three. Okay. Okay, no, great. So predominantly single people that we have here tonight. Okay. So the key thing that we're going to just take this little bottle of CM, let's just jump in here. Ready. Okay. But I just quickly want to pray for us, then we're going to go. So Father, we just honor you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Thank you that we can just open up our hearts now, Lord, to you, Jesus. Thank you that you are our Lord. Thank you that you are the God of relationship, Lord. You are in perfect relationship. We love relationship. And we really just want to honor you for that. We thank you, God, that you want to come and do a work in our hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, we just open up our hearts to you. Thank you that you hold every heart here tonight. And that you have a word, Lord, for every heart here tonight. May every heart just hear your words that are spoken in Jesus' name. So I think for me personally, when I just think about this topic, that it's important for us to grow in our relationship with Christ, but now you're gonna go into different phases. You're gonna go into relationship and being engaged and being married and having kids and all these types of things, and how am I supposed to do that when I'm doing you know, I want to grow in my relationship with God, but I'm not sure how these things that are going to happen to me are going to change anything. Okay. And the short answer from my experience that I'm going to give you is that fundamentally, none of that actually matters. That's the short answer. Okay. Because what I've found in my life is that in the end, God, my relationship with God is based on my heart primarily, and whether my heart is open to Him. And I will be in as much relationship with God as I want to be, because I determine that. Because God is here, and God is ready for relationship at all times. God is seeking relationship with us. That's why He, you know, sent Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus to die for us, because He wants relationship with us. So primarily, it's really all on me whether I want that relationship with Him. So the key thing, and we're going to get into more aspects, but I just want to set that as a foundation. That really is, for me, the foundation. And when I thought about it today, you know, what was my relationship like with God when I was single? What was my relationship like when I met Suzette and when we were dating? And how if I go through all of those different phases, we can talk about that. But at a foundational level, it really has to do with the word that came, that God sort of dropped in my spirit, is intentional. That's really the word that I'm looking for, is, am I intentional in my relationship with God? And I find that when I look at that, the times when I was intentional in my relationship with God and seeking Him and spending time with Him and making effort to be involved or meeting with Him, that's really all that really determined whether I was growing in my relationship with God. And obviously, you know, as things go on, it becomes difficult because your life becomes full of things. That's what happens. But the funny part is that right now, all of you feel that your life is probably quite full. Okay? But then, okay, maybe not everybody, but yeah, you feel like, yo, I don't have a lot of capacity because I'm quite full. And then suddenly you go into a relationship, and then suddenly you manage to pull that off as well. And then some of you aren't working yet, then you begin a job, and now you fit the job in as well. Now you're fitting the relationship, and you're fitting the job in. And then you get married, and then you're fitting that in. And now you have a baby, now you're fitting that in. And somehow, you've actually remained fully occupied, but you've actually, like, things have changed, but you're still fully occupied. You get what I'm saying? So in a sense, some of us think, yeah, but things will change when I'm there. But in a sense, all that's going to change is whether you're intentional or not. That's really what's going to change. If you're not intentional now, you're not going to be more intentional then. Yeah, it all is determined on how intentional you are right now. And yes, it does become trickier to be intentional. Okay, that is definitely the truth. Am I being intentional in our relationship? If I think about where I am now, and maybe a lot of people aren't going to be able to relate to that right now, but if I think about where I am now and the responsibilities I have as a husband, as a father, as a director in a company, there's a lot more on my plate. So being intentional in my relationship with God becomes harder, but it becomes more and more important for me to just do that, to just be intentional and choose it. And when I get an opportunity to choose, I make the right choice. So the last thing that I want to say about this is really that, you know, it sounds like a big thing, being intentional, but what it really is just one step in the right direction. And sometimes we miss that. It's actually so simple. If I keep walking in a direction that will take, if I want to go to Durban and I don't walk in the direction that will take me to Durban, I will never get to Durban. So I can tell myself every day I'm going to Durban, but I'm actually walking to Polokwane.
And every day I take another step in the direction of Polokwane, but I'm saying in my mind, oh, I really want to go to Durban. Durban is the place. Guys, the waves are amazing in Durban. It's so awesome. I really want to be there, man. I'm so excited to be in Durban. And I'm not going to Durban. Okay. So it's really simple, but I really find in my life that the most important thing I can do today is to make an intentional decision that will take me in the direction that I really actually want to go in my heart. Because all of us want to really be intimate with Jesus. That's what we want. That's why you're here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight if you didn't want to be intimate with Jesus. The only way that you're going to be intimate with Jesus is if you make a decision today, a simple decision. In your walk today, I'm not going to watch the series now. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm not going to, whatever. You can plug anything in there and say, I'm just not going to do that. And I'm going to make a better decision. I'm not going to sleep another half an hour. It becomes a place of sacrifices. That's really as simple as it is. And it's actually quite exciting, the fact that we can actually just begin today to make a better step towards Christ. That's really what it is. Right now, today, I can make a better decision. And if I make enough of those decisions, then in a few months' time, when I look back, I'm not going to know where I am, because I'm going to be in a different place. And that, you know, is really exciting. So that's just in short what I wanted to share as a start. And good.
For me, you know, when we were outside just now, we prayed, and the Lord just gave me this word, fear. There is a lot of fear in the room for different seasons that you're in. Some of you are single and you have fear of going into a relationship. Some of you are engaged and there's a little bit of fear for the married life. And some of you are in a relationship and there's fear for getting married. And if there's one thing that I want to leave with you tonight, is that I wasn't perfect. I wasn't the perfect godly woman when me and Michael started to date. I was working out my salvation. I was seeking the Lord, but I wasn't perfect. And I just want to break that lie that from a woman's point of view, you need to be this perfect godly woman before that man will choose you. Or you need to be the perfect godly man. You first need to be perfect, then you can go into relationship. Or everything in your life first needs to be perfect before you can go into the next season. And what I learned was that I was everything but perfect. I was vulnerable and weak in lots of areas. But I needed to, in our relationship, even grow in that with God, and to have my foundation strong by seeking the Lord together as well. So I think that's just the first thing that I wanted to share, that you can be weak. You don't have to be perfect, because that's where the Lord is strong. That is where the Lord can use you, even in relationship. If you can repent together and say, I struggle with this and I struggle with that. So Michael taught me that, to actually say, okay, I lied to you about this, or today I thought of these things and I want to repent. And then we even prayed together. But there's a sense of being proud and being perfect, and then we come together and then we are perfect together, and then we are this perfect God-fearing couple. There's nothing like that. That doesn't exist. What is real and what is true is being able to repent and be able to testify that we struggle with this. We actually struggled with just not fighting. We fought a lot at the start of our relationship because we are so different in our ways of thinking and our ways of doing things. So we fought a lot. And I had sex before I was married, and I kept it a secret forever from everyone. And then the Holy Spirit just one night woke me up, and I woke up Michael, and I told him. We were away with Vainant, one of our good friends, and I came then to the room, and I'm like, I need to talk to you. And I just repented, and I just told him everything. And for the first time, I was truly delivered from that burden that I was carrying, and I was truly free. And I was so fearful that Michael would just walk out, and he just started crying and said, "But Jesus has already forgiven you. So how can I not just accept you?" And he just pulled me and hold me close. And that's how I got to know Jesus. Because I was weak, I was vulnerable. And I could be honest with Michael in everything. That was the start, but from there I could just tell him everything. And I think that is one part that I would advise you to look for in someone, is someone that you can be real with, that everything doesn't have to be perfect.
I just want to add to that. I think it's so important what Suzette's saying, just that place of like you think you must be perfect before you can move to a next phase. And I really just want to say that God uses relationship to mold us and teach us, because you realize that, you know, I thought I was pretty not too bad, you know, before I was in a relationship. Oh, I'm quite a catch. I'm quite not too bad. Okay, ticking the boxes, great. And then you get in a relationship, and then God just shows you, but you actually not that, you know. Like, we don't have time to now tell the whole story, but you can ask us if you want to hear it. But it's a good story. But I mean, the bottom line is, the reason why it's a good story is because I'm a loser. That's why. And that's what God showed me. It's just that I thought I was godly, but my wife was actually the godly one. And she thought she wasn't godly. And it was just that reversal. And I can just testify the same. What she's saying, what I taught her, the things that she's taught me through relationship, and the things that God has shown me through her life, and how he uses her in ways that are different to the ways that he uses me, it's really taught me that it's amazing, like, what God does in and through relationship when we do it in the way that he he desires.
I also just want to share one thing that really helped us a lot in our relationship and then being engaged and being married, and that is true accountable friends. Because when we went through difficult times in our relationship and in the season when we were engaged, and even now that we have a child, there's friends in Michael's life that some of you know, that he's still in weekly contact with, and we see them often. And there's girlfriends in my life that keeps me accountable to my relationship to Jesus Christ, and that keeps him accountable. And that makes a huge difference to where we are now. If it wasn't for that group of friends that we share, guy friends and girlfriends, we wouldn't have been here, because they helped us, they gave us advice. So I also, Michael also told me that to actually be weak before them and say, "We struggle with this," and then they help us, and then they come to us and say, "We struggle with this." So I think that's the word, yes, to be in community, to not isolate yourself once you come into relationship, or once you get engaged, or once you get married, or now with us having a baby, it's so much more difficult Because sometimes you just want to hide away in your home because your baby can't stop crying. But then you need to push yourself and go out and be in community. Like a beautiful example for me is Christoph and Renee. You just see them everywhere. So they actually help us with that. Just come out with Emma. Because that helps. And to be weak with each other. Like we had one cell, one night we had a cell together, us two couples, and we just shared with them what we struggle with, and they just shared with us, and we could pray for each other. So that's what I want to encourage you with, to not isolate yourself and feel that now you too must make this work, but to be in community. And the Lord will also show you which friends, because not everyone stays when you get into a relationship. And that's also okay. But your true friends that you know has a living relationship with the Lord, those people are the ones that you need to keep close, because you will need them throughout your life.
Well, and I think something that the Lord's just been challenging me on, just for the guys especially, like I God's really been challenging me to say, but you know, we all know it, that the world needs a father. Like the world needs men that are real men. And the answer to that, guys, it's really only in relationship with God and seeking Him. And it's actually in taking responsibility. That's really what it means. The guys have to take responsibility and say, okay, because, you know, I can just testify that in my relationship with Suzette, all the times when I'm not close to God, our relationship suffers. When I don't make time to spend time with God, our relationship suffers because of that. When I do spend time with God, then everything goes well. And Suzette feels safe, and she just flourishes, and it's the same with Emma. But there's a connection in that place, and it is in a married space that's taking place, but it's also applicable if you're in a relationship or you want to be in a relationship. You need to take that responsibility, because the world is telling us every single day that you're not responsible for other people, and this whole father thing and families and all of that is a bunch of nonsense, but it actually isn't. And the reason I want to say it, not in a, it's actually in an encouraging way. What I want to say to you is, every guy that's sitting here, you each have the ability to take that responsibility. You have it in you inherently. God has made us as men to be able to do it. We are designed to take responsibility and to do that. So I want to encourage you today, do that. Stand up, make choices, make decisions, and stick to them, because that's the only way that we'll be able to achieve the dreams that we actually have in our hearts. Yeah.
The last thing that I want to share is that the Lord's heart is to be there for the one, to stop for the one. And that is also what I want to share, is that when we come into relationship, and it's all about relationship week this week, but when we get into the relationship, we have this huge expectation, and then we need to have these perfect date nights, and we just prioritize everything about the relationship so much. And we focus on the relationship itself a lot. But what I experienced was, when we did that, there was lots of disappointments. because, not in all the date nights, but just because you were a human being, and some days you just don't want to be, or you just don't want to be nice, or you just, it just doesn't work out like you expected. And what really blessed us is when we were in our different ministry fields and we could give and we could serve and we could be there for other people. That really filled us up again to come together and to really appreciate one another again. So do not spend all your time working your butt off on this relationship and doing everything perfect and now this needs to be perfect. That is just too much pressure. But to rather just go out and minister together, or we are not even in the same ministry field, but just to go out and bless other people, or in church there are so many opportunities and it's just so simple, but when we get into a relationship quickly you forget about it because you prioritize the relationship a lot. And I don't say you mustn't prioritize the relationship and make time for each other, but there needs to be a real balance of giving of yourself and then coming together and sharing and testifying and, you know, just being there for other people and growing in your ministry. And you don't have to wait for the guy that's in your ministry field because you thought of this guy and this guy that needs to be, because then you can be this perfect ministry couple. That's also not real. Because we differ a lot in how we minister, but the Lord is so much bigger in that. So He knows exactly how He wants to use you and why and when. You know, so thank you for us sharing. I think there's so many stuff that we can actually, you know, just tell you guys to come and ask us questions. I think that would be cool afterwards.
Yeah, I think the last thing that I just want to share, I'm just going to take this opportunity because I don't always get an opportunity like that. But Suzette's actually alluded to it a lot tonight. She's used that word perfect quite a lot tonight. And we really just want to, I just want to say it out straight. There is no such thing as perfect or the perfect person or the perfect one. And I know, because the world keeps sowing you that lie. And the world's going to keep telling you that lie. Is this person good enough for me? Is this person perfect enough for me? Are they going to compliment me perfect enough? And the answer is no, they are not. But it really is okay. Because that's not the point of relationship. And that's what we have to understand, is that the point of relationship is not to have a perfect relationship. That's not the point. That's not why we're in relationships. That's why God is in relationship with us. Because God would not have a relationship with us if that was the point of relationship. Because we're not perfect. Okay? But He wanted relationship with us anyway. And it's really important that we get that in our heads. That because the world keeps selling us consumerism. And relationship is not consumerism. That's not what it is. I don't say, I don't like this car anymore, I get another one. Okay? We can't do that, but mentally we're busy doing that. If you're not in a relationship, mentally you're doing that. You're walking and you're shopping. And that's fine. It's fine to be shopping, but when you buy, you buy. Okay? That's what, you know, Stephen Lungu, were you guys here when Stephen Lungu spoke about the bread in Checkers? Did you guys hear that? He told his daughter, he says, "So you, my daughter, you are a bread in Checkers. That's what you are." So when you go to Checkers, do you just take a bread and you eat it? She says, "No, you don't do that. You first take the bread and then you pay for it. And then do you eat it?" "No." "Then you take it home. And then you eat it." "Yes, the whole thing." "No, then you eat it slice for slice." So the point what that is making is, when you've bought the bread, guys, then you can pay for it, then you take it home, then you eat it. That was the principle that he was making. But the idea in that is very clear, because that's really what it's about. But You know, but the point that I just want to make there is we really have to move away from the mentality of I'm looking for something perfect. Because you're not looking for something perfect. Because you're not perfect. That's what you need to become aware of. And God puts us in relationships and to be different. And guys, I've given up many things in this relationship. Okay? And Suzette has given up many things, many dreams. Some of the things that I've dreamt about my whole life, about what I want in a wife, I will never have those things. And you know what? It's fine. In fact, it's more than fine. Why? Because Suzette is a lot more, and the things that she is so much more blessed. Because she is what I need. She's not necessarily everything that I want. But in life, we mustn't get everything that we want. Otherwise, we'll get ice cream every day until we're huge. Okay? You have to get the things that you need, not the things that you want. So, yeah, I just want to just challenge you with that. Really. You know, Suzette is the one. She is the one for me. Not because she was the one that God made for me, but because I chose her. On the day that I chose her, when I paid for her, when I promised, then she became the one. Okay. It's important to understand that principle. Okay, because I'm being like Jesus when I do that. Why? Because Jesus promised to love me when I was worthless. He chose me. So if I want to be like Christ, I choose Suzette every day. Then I can be like Christ. Because if God must give me Suzette, and she's not the right one, and 10 years down the line I don't like her anymore, then I go back to God and say, hey, there's something wrong with this model that you gave me. I want a refund. But now that I've made the promise, I can't go to God and say that. Because I make the promise. And God is empowering every one of us to be able to make promises like that. Even though we don't get to practice it every day. You're not practicing making lifetime promises every day. But I promise you, God has made us to be able to make promises like that and keep them. Because that's the way that He is, and He wants us to become like Him. Okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was a really good, challenging session to start with, and I hope that that you guys have taken a lot from Michael and Suzette's session. So the next guy I want to introduce is Sean Saville. There is probably a couple of people sitting here that have come to salvation. I don't want to say through Sean, but from Sean's life or preaching or whatever the case is. So there's definitely a couple of people here who's had their lives massively impacted through him. My life has dramatically changed just interacting with Sean and spending time with him. I can honestly say that he's one of few guys that you can really see Jesus' blood flowing through his veins. And he represents Christ on all levels. He's making massive inroads into the construction company that he works for. Many people have come to salvation there. And first of all, I want to honor Sean for that, representing Christ in the working world, and especially in construction with his stuff. And he's really a man after God's heart. And he's not scared to challenge people. He's not scared to give the truth directly. And so, yeah, I really just pray to you guys, open up your hearts and receive from him. And he is married to Amelia Saville. And they have two kids now. Megan, she turned 3 yesterday. And the little guy, Matthew, is just over 2 months, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, cool. Yeah, Sean.
Evening, guys. You all well? Before I start, I just got one request. Oh God, please pitch. Oh my word, I'm in trouble. Yeah? Oh, please don't. I don't have any answers for you either. Look, that's an interesting introduction that I've got. Thanks a lot, Josh. Jesus' blood flowing through my veins. That's true. And there's a lot of faces that I know here, a lot of new faces as well. I've been an absent minister, if you call it that, for what, about a year or two now. Taking some time off since stepping down as a pastor in the church, just sitting at the back of the church as a congregant now with my family. I've got a wife and two extremely active children. I'm actually thankful. I'm praising the Lord that I'm here tonight because wife and children are crying still at the moment. Not because I left. It's like a circus. I'm busy developing a circus. Yes, people, it's crazy. I'm actually uitgeput. Look, I mean, I'm completely dressed down. I got crayon marks and stuff in my hands. Excuse me, I'm just cornering wherever I can to try to pacify the house I could get out to be here with you guys. And I trust through all of that effort to actually get here to chat tonight, I trust the Lord will pitch. I trust He's got something to say to you guys. And I'm trusting that He's just going to release that to you somehow. For those of you that know me, you'll know I don't necessarily shoot out of the hip, but I roll like this. I tend to rock up on the night and say, okay, God, who's here? What do you want to say to these people? So I speak. I'm really a conduit. So I believe what I'm going to say to Him, I trust, will not be man's opinion. It will not be fabricated from me. It will not be something that I desire to say to you, I wish to say to you, because I know maybe 10% of you. I'm trusting that what eventually does come out tonight is from the heart of God and to every single one of you. Relationship week is hard. I've been in this church for some time now. I've preached at a few relationship weeks already, and it's hard. The last one that I spoke at was 2015. That was just before my exit from pulpit ministry. When I said to the church, to prep for relationship week is a near impossible task, because who are you pitching to? Do you understand what I mean there? Amongst all of you, it ranges from the eunuch in the front row. You know what that is, Mr. Holy? Normally in the front row, because they're trying to receive the blessing, you know what I mean? They've been in the front row for so long, they receive so much blessing already, you need to move to the back now. Because at the back, that's where the cool cats sit. The Mr. I'm cool, I don't really care about relationships, I don't roll like that, you know what I mean? Yet, they've been sitting at the back for the past 5 years that I've been preaching at Relationship Week. So, is there anyone who's here with us for their first Relationship Week? Don't be shy. It's nothing. That's a good thing. Put your hand up. Second one? Anyone here for more than five? That's my boys. That's my boys. Oh, guys, come on. But now you need to latch onto some of the advice that we gave and drive it home, guys. Drive it home. This is too long. I'm really only teasing. I think they're starting to wonder now if that chain email that they never passed on to 20 friends is starting to take its toll. Damn. You know, the Mervitzes came and they set this religious bar so high. Mike, thanks. Zed, thanks. And now they just let the clown out onto all of you. I'm just going to let it rip. Guys, I'm joking about the 5 year stint and things like that. Relationship week is not about having found success in relationships. It's really just about being equipped. Every single year there's different messages that comes out. It's been tackled from a different angle. It's about equipping you guys to find success in an area of life that damn it's hard. Right? This is not easy. And it's even harder in church circles, and it's super hard amongst you charismatics. You see how I excluded myself from it, you charismatics. I'm joking, I'm chief Indian amongst a lot. It's hard, guys. There's a lot of pressure on this dating thing, this relationship thing. I'll give you the mic. But look, guys, I was there as well. I joined the church in 2009. I was single. I wasn't very young at that stage either, but I was single. And I remember the very first relationship week talk I gave, the title was 30 and Single. The problem was when I gave that talk, I wasn't 30 anymore, and I wasn't single either. I reflected back a few years, and I looked at where I was and where I came from. And I shared from that perspective of what it felt like to be where you guys were hunting. Eyeing out those that want to be hunted. Partaking in the hunting, maybe a little bit too much as well. The mistakes I made, I could share with guys. And the successes that I found, because I eventually found success. I eventually found a wife. I was one of the lucky few that actually found my wife in this church. Praise the Lord for that. But in saying that, I was one of the lucky few. That's not everyone's destiny. That's definitely not why we come to church. It's not why I came to church, period. I came here to do a few other things. See people get saved and to bring people along with me. And Abba Hook, Abba Crook, there was something and someone here that the Lord had planned for me. And just moseying on my business and doing what I do. Somehow I latched onto her, realized she liked me, checked her out. Ah, she looks all right, like Microsoft. I'll buy it. You know what I mean? Let's roll. I bought it, I took it home, and I'm still not through it yet. I'm still eating at it slice by slice by slice. Right? It's a big loaf of bread. No. You see my wife, you will know that ain't a big loaf of bread. No, not at all. Not at all. There was a stage when I was the big loaf of bread. All right? Not anymore either. But guys, you know what I realized driving here is that every single relationship we talked that I gave was around singleness, being single. Every single one of them. The last one I did in 2015 was called Bench Warmers. Would make sense to you where I was going with that one. Sitting in the dugout, waiting for your turn to bat, not getting a turn, super reserve, water boy, water girl, bench warmer, and all of that. And there's something that I want to share with you so that you know why I'm going this way again tonight. I've been a scholar of salvation and deliverance for a very long time. I dedicated a large part of my life to the study of that two elements, as well as discipleship. But we throw discipleship out from that, salvation and deliverance. And there's some vital lessons that I learned through that I really believe is applicable to every facet of our lives. Tonight I'm going to talk about being single again. And the reason why I'm going to go there again this year is because this is the one thing that is destroying most young Christians. Their inability to remain and embrace the season that they're in. I'm not a young Christian anymore. I look good for someone who's staring down the throat of 40. Don't I? Yeah? All right. You reckon if I wasn't married, I had a chance? Guys, there I just gave you your very first lesson. You go for it with everything you have. They hit you out by that door, you dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and you go on, guys. Go on. Thank you. Thank you for batting me. It's what we needed for the guys to see. And did you check how I handled that rejection in front of all of you? This is what you call a seasoned professional. All right, guys, that's a lesson. You take it on the lip, you take it like a big boy and move on. Nevertheless, this inability to embrace the season that you're in. Guys, you're all young. I'm looking around, you're young. What I want to say to you is you're in a good place tonight. You're in a very good place. I'm not talking about the hall. I'm not talking about the setting. Where you are in life right now, you here because you're single, you're wanting to get something, whether it be knowledge, insight, I don't know what on earth you're here for. Maybe you're just here because small groups here and you're forced to be here. I know we get back into all of these things. Horses saying, yes, I'm with you, brother. You know what I mean? But you're here tonight and you're in a good place. And why is that a good place? This is where God wants you. This is where God wants you. Think of yourself right now. Picture your life, what's going on, where you're at in your life, in your singleness, what your struggles are, what your desires are, what the shortcomings are, this wish for intimacy, this wish for someone, this desire to be something, all of that is a good place. It's a hard place. It's a good place because God has you there for a reason. And if this is the only thing I say to you tonight, this is the one thing I want, this to sit on your heart. You are where you are in life because God, in His infinite wisdom and in all of His sovereignty, decided that this is where you will be. Now, you might not want to hear this from me. I'm a married man with kids. I might have moved on a few steps in life, have achieved a few things that many of you still desire to achieve, and many of you are sitting here. I know some of you are thinking, who the hell are you to say that to me? I don't trust you. I don't know you. I can't take what you say as being the gospel or as being legit. I don't want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust my words. I want to ask you, do you trust God? Because it's not me that has all of you conceived. That's God's hands. The question is, do you trust God? Do you trust Him with your life? Do you trust Him enough to become content with where you are? Knowing that the God we serve is a good God. This is a God of provision. This is a God that has purchased you. This is a God that paid a price for your life. This is the same God that rules over a heaven that emptied out its coffers for your life. That has decided right now this is where I want you. And yet we are happy with that. I want us for a season to take our focus off our wishes, off our desires, off our list. You see, life is like a grocery list for us. We want to tick the apples in the basket, good, the bananas in the basket. We just want to go through life, tick, 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 tick. It's not that easy. I think Michael moved towards that. If things were that easy, if we could just tick, 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 life would have been easy. The Christian walk would have been easy. God would have had His way. We wouldn't have had the battles that we have today. It doesn't work like that. So we need to focus on the season we're in and embrace the season we're in. God wants to do something in your life. Are you going to afford Him that opportunity, or are you going to block Him every chance you get with your desire and your wish? I can tell you now, being single is not a curse. Being single is far from a curse. It must be one of the biggest blessings I've ever experienced in my whole life. I love my wife. I love my children. I won't change where I am now for anything in this world. But you want me to share a secret with you? I really did enjoy being single. I had time to myself. I had the ability to do things that I wanted to do. I had the ability to achieve things. I wanted to achieve, to go places. I wanted to go to avail myself for certain things. Guys, I don't have that. You know, I came to a point in my life where I now have a wife and two kids, and they're my priority. This I preached to this church a long time back. God first, wife second, kids third, congregation, you're not even fourth. And I was pastoring you guys at that stage. And all I wanted the church to understand is, where is my priorities? What is important to me? God first. Wife second, kids third, then it was my work, then it was the congregation. And a lot of people were offended by that. But I sat behind my little pulpit and I said, well, that's the way it is. And that remains, that's my priorities today. And as a result of that priorities, my hands have been cut off in many areas of life. There's a lot of things I can't do anymore. But when I was single, oh my God, man, I serve everywhere and in every capacity. I was running after God with everything that I had, with not a single worldly care. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, if you weren't married, your concerns wouldn't be so worldly. to be able to run after the things of God. I remember Gareth Fluke saying, this is the only pastor that will preach that passage of Corinthians at Relationship Week, because it's a thing that is a bracer for the relationships. Né? And now I go there. I go there where no one wants to go. So what am I saying to you? Am I advocating a Christian life over relationships? No, I'm not an idiot. What I'm advocating is a balanced lifestyle. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every event under heaven. There's a time for everything and a season for every event under heaven. Where are you now? You're single now. So what does your season entail? Your season entails applying your shoulder to the wheel in all the areas where you can, because you are going to be restricted the day when you have a wife and kids. Now there's a lot of Christians that want to challenge me on this and say, yes, when you get a wife and when you get kids, things mustn't change. Whatever, things change. I can't jump on a plane tomorrow and go to a mission in India. How on earth can I do that? At the click of a finger, throw my money in and go. I've got a wife and two kids at home. Can I take Matthew to India at 2 months? If I feel like paying a ridiculous doctor's bill, then I'm going to. You see what I'm talking about? Now that I have a wife and kids, it's not that I don't love Christ anymore. It's not that I don't love the church anymore. It's not that I don't want to do things anymore. Things change, and my priorities have changed. So all I'm saying is, in this time of singleness, focus on the things that you're not going to be able to do anymore. Now, this is not only just running after Christ and doing good things for the church, but I want to encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, I've got no one to love. How? How? Is there someone sitting next to you? Love that person. Love the person next to you. What's wrong with that? You see what the problem is? We want to complain that we can't love someone, yet we have not yet learned to fulfill one of the greatest commandments, which is to love thy neighbor. Now, if you haven't learned to love thy neighbor, you will never know how to love someone in a covenant relationship. And this comes from someone who's been there and done that. You don't know how to love the people next to you. You don't know how to serve the people next to you. You're not going to be able to love or serve your wife or your children. Period. So start practicing now. Start practicing now. I can promise you, for every person that feels they have no one to love, there's at least 5 in this hall that is dying for your attention and your time. That is dying for you to give some sort of input into their lives. Whether it's just to be friends, whether it's just to be in fellowship, whether it's just to share a story with someone, whatever. Someone dying for your attention. So I want to ask you, in this time of being single, learn to love the people that God has put into your life. If you're going to get that right, you're going to be one seriously kick-ass husband, and you're going to be a seriously kick-ass wife. You're going to make great parents. So what am I saying to you? The training ground is there. What are you waiting for? What are you complaining about? You've got so much work ahead of you. I don't even see how you can sit and not be content and complain. You've got so much that you can be doing. Serve the church. Why not? Serve in this church. This church needs hands. I've been here for years. Yes, I'm guilty. I'm not serving in a ministry capacity anymore. I serve in a different capacity. Now it's like a church governance. You know, I sit there, wow, what we must do. It's the lack of thing. You know what I mean? But if I look back when I was single, I was everywhere. I was doing everything. I was giving of my passion for Christ, of my ability to allow the Lord to work through me to bring people to salvation. I was on the mission field. Praise the Lord for this. This is not an accolade of my own, but I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to salvation. You can do that. You have time to do that now. For me just to get here to take the mic tonight is already difficult. Can you imagine? My wife just said to me this week, why are you ever going to go back to the pulpit again? I'm still a preacher. I'm not a pastor anymore. I'm still a preacher at heart. I'm still a theologian at heart. Are you ever going to preach again? I said, well, I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the capacity to apply myself to study, to all of those things anymore. Why? I refuse to stand up here and feed you crap. I will stand up here and I will give you something well thought out, well devised from the heart of God. To do that, it takes time. Guess what? I don't even have time to do that anymore. Where must I do that? Things change. Have I become a bad Christian? Oh no, I love God more than ever. My relationship with the Lord is stronger now than what it was when I was a pastor. I understand something about the heart of God now. The simplicity of the heart of God and of the love of God, I understand far better now than what I ever did before. So I never went backwards. The contrary, I advanced. I matured in my relationship with Christ and my relationship with the church. When I had the time, I gave what I could. I gave it with everything that I could. And you know what? The beauty of it is, I could run with many things for a long time, and when my term came to an end, I could pass the baton on to someone else, to someone younger, and I could say, you've been under my wing for a long time, run with what we started. So do that. You've got time to raise someone, get someone under your wing, disciple someone, work with someone, build towards something, and when your time comes, you can hand over the baton and say, run with what we started. If we can have every single individual that has the time and capacity to do that, to start doing that, the church is going to be in a seriously good place. Wouldn't you agree with me? The church has sort of stagnated in those avenues over the past few years. I'm not talking about Shofar, I'm talking about the church global has stagnated in those areas. Why? Because we're inundated with our own foolish nonsense. Our focus is off the advancement of the church. Our focus is off the lack of our advancement, what we want, what we need, and where we must go. In this season of singleness, take the focus off yourself, put the focus on those around you. I promise you the reward, the blessing that you will receive from that is immense. Work on your relationship with God. This is one of the most interesting things that I come to see amongst my peers and my colleagues. I'm in a small group again that I don't facilitate. I'm not in leadership. I sit in the small group. And I suppose it's intimidating for the small group facilitator because all their manuals and their training manuals at the bottom of the page is the person who wrote the manual. Damn, it's sitting in my small group. So it might be hard for that individual, but the thing that I see in these small groups, I'm going to speak out of the marriage groups now, and I'm not saying this is applicable to everyone, but there's this lack of knowledge, this lack of maturity. I'm sitting with people that have come to realize don't necessarily know God. They don't know God's heart. They haven't connected with the heart of God. When we talk about how we perceive Christ, how we perceive God, His goodness in our lives, I'm not judging anyone, but there's a shortfall in people's lives because there was no solid investment when they had the time to invest in it. You've got time now to invest in a relationship with God, to know the purest heart of God, to know Christ for who He is, to know God's desire for this world and for your life. You have the time now. I don't hold any of those people responsible for the comments that they make. It's like, I can't get to it now anymore. In the married small groups, we ask people, when last did they have quiet time? Well, that question tends to get asked a lot for a reason, obviously. It's like, what's quiet time? What's reading the Bible? What's praying? The only time we pray is when we pray for the food with the kids. That's the type of answers you get. These are not bad people. You catch what I'm saying. These things become hard as the years go on. So if you invest now, you grow and you mature through this phase of your life. When you get to that phase as a married individual that's slightly older, the foundations have been established in your life. Invest in your relationship. The other thing is, we want relationships with individuals. Again, I'm going to say, if you can't engage in a meaningful relationship with God, with your Creator, how are you going to engage in a meaningful relationship with anyone sitting next to you? If you can't get it right with the one that had forged you, how are you going to get it right with one that is going to nitpick problems in you? I love what Michael said. Marriage is so hard. The Lord has a crazy sense of humor. For those of you that know myself and Amelia, you know what I'm talking about. I am a guava. And she is a ayatollah. What is that in English? Something completely different. The Lord put her in my life to calm the storm, because I'm a loose cannon. You let me go and I go. And all I get from this little lady there is that look. And when I get that look, poop, chip, stop. Not a word from her. Haragat, you know what that is, ne? Grootbek. Very confident, very bold in speech. Not arrogant, ne? Not prideful. Confident and bold. Big difference, ne? Big, that's the good aspects. But I get that look. I remember still as a pulpit pastor, and I would preach and I'd preach, and I just get that look from the back of the church. And, ooh, are you back? Ooh, is mulligat. Ooh, yeah. I went somewhere where, ooh, I'm in trouble when I get home. Sunday lunch ain't going to be the same today. All right? So, the Lord just knows how to. The Lord knows how to string us. How to string us together. It wasn't easy making our relationship work. We're very different. And I'm thankful for my ability to have grown in relationship with my Creator and with Christ. Having applied myself to the daily disciplines. Having learned to sacrifice myself in that area. Because I became accustomed to sacrifice. And now to know that Christ has given me her because I chose her. I bought her. Christ has now made her the one. I know how to sacrifice to you. I now know how to sacrifice to her. It's some of the hardest sacrifices I have to make. But I sacrifice for her and for my people. It becomes easy. And guys, this is where I want to go. And I said that I've been a scholar of salvation and deliverance for many years. I want you to embrace your season. Just enjoy it. Just have fun. Can us Christians please just stop being a bunch of stuck-up pricks? There I said it. Can we stop being self-righteous and religious with a Bible stuck up our ass? You're not recording me, are you? Guys, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being blasphemous. You guys catch what I'm saying? You guys are with me, eh? Christ purchased your redemption at the price. For what? For you to be an asshole. And I'm being serious now. Sorry, my use of words. You see why my wife needs to curb me on a Sunday. A lot of my messages, you listen to it in the week, it's just beep, 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 beep. All the things I need to cut out that I'm saying. But I'm not being disrespectful. Guys, I'm not being rude. You all young, you need to catch the heart of what I'm saying. We must stop being stuck up and self-righteous and I'm all holy and I'm saving myself for I don't know what. I can't touch you because I'm so dedicated to Christ right now and I can't come close to you. I don't know the book of Leviticus yet. Man gemors. You can read the book of Leviticus, understand it, and date this girl. Why not? It's going to make the book of Leviticus a lot more interesting. Yeah, you bet me earlier. Come back, so sweet girl. I'm only teasing. Guys, don't over-spiritualize this dating game. Can we just cut this Christian crap, please? Because it's not going to work. Just cut the crap. All right? That's an amen from a man who is now at his 10-year anniversary of relationship weeks. Yuri should be writing the content. I should just be delivering. I'm teasing. We'll just check what's in front. I'm nearly there. I've got a minute left. I'm going to wrap up now. But I want to wrap up with this because this is what you guys need to catch. We're far too spiritual around this. And I honestly don't see how that can be gone. I promise you. John 10 verse 10. Jesus speaking. Red letters in the Bible. The enemy comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. That abundance of life that Jesus is talking about, if you go to the original text, it's about living life in its fullest. When he says, I come to give you life, he speaks of the eternal life that you get through your salvation, through the receipt of the New Jerusalem. The life in abundance speaks about this world that I'm in right now. I'm going to live my life kick ass because you paid a price for it. And that is from the original text that I'm now translating. So why do we go through our days, day in, day out, being all snobbish, nose in the air, being all upright and stiff? Because I know the majority of you that are doing it, you're not enjoying it. You're doing it to make someone happy, to make something happy, to try to find favor with God. I don't know if you think it's a test, that if you pass this test of singleness, boom, the Lord's going to roll something out for you. Well done, you good and faithful student. You remain single for so long, here with a wife. You are not going to hear that. You're not going to hear that. If you're going to sit in that position, the wives are going to come rolling past you. You ain't going to see them. It's really that simple. Just cut the crap. Guys and girls, what's wrong with dating? Is it unbiblical? Is it unspiritual? What's wrong with it? What's wrong about making mistakes? What's wrong about asking this girl out? Saying yes. We're going on a date. And after date or two, sorry, the one next to you, it's you now. I'm on a date with you. I'm on a date with you now. If you bet me, Gareth, I'm on a date with you, brother. I'll work my way into somewhere where you're going to accept me. All right. But, sorry, I'm just pointing. I'm not picking on anyone. But what's wrong with going on a date and realizing, oh my word, this is just so not going to happen. And then just being honest and saying, guy, girl, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed myself. I had a great time with you. Whatever we were doing, just have fun doing it. If you realize this person is not the one, don't make that awkward exit. Oh, my mom called the cat, coughed up a fur ball. I need to go home. Be lekker. You know what I mean when I say be lekker? Be legit. Be lekker. Be authentic. Enjoy your evening. He should be paying. All right? He should be paying. Guys, you should be paying. Klaar met die half-half nonsense. Jy betaal. You should be eating. You should not be on a diet that evening. Please, don't talk to me about diets, ne? I've got a good view on diets. I eat a potload of food and look how I look. You don't need diets. You eat that night. You enjoy yourself. Guy, enjoy spending your money on it. You asked on the date. And when it goes terribly wrong, just acknowledge each other, thank each other, and just move on. And don't be awkward the next Sunday at church, please. We gave it a go. It didn't work. It's really cool. Now, lady, 3 weeks later, when you see him at Menland with someone else, don't you rick yourself up. You said no 3 weeks ago. I'm not saying guys jump between every Dick, Tom, and Harry. What I'm saying is you guys are young. Enjoy the playing field, man. Come on. I mean, you're too worried about what people's going to think and how people are going to perceive me and what they're going to make me out to be. And there's been so much rumors and so much nonsense running through this church about girls accusing guys of being players. And come on, this oak is just trying to find someone to do something with for more than one or two intervals or periods of time that's going to bear some substance. How are you ever going to know that this girl is the one for you if you're not going to spend time with her? The guys are just trying to get there. The girls are just trying to get there. A lot of guys say, oh, that girl's with everyone. She's not with everyone. She's with him now. He doesn't want to be with her. She takes a break. She sits down. Someone else comes a month later, and she does it. There's nothing wrong with it. So all I'm wanting to break is, I know this is talk about, oh, I need to be all prim and proper because I might just be considered the Rahab of Shofar Pretoria. Mike, where's that genealogy, brother? Rahab is in the direct bloodline of Jesus Christ. We lach now for Rahab. You catch my drift, ne? Catch my drift. Guys, just be lekker. Enjoy life. Go full out with what you're doing. Christ paid a price for your life. You need to enjoy this. Enjoy this season. Because when the next season comes, it's done. When you choose the one and you settle with the one, guys, girls, you finish shopping. Klaar. It's really that simple. Jy kan maak kyk. Kyk's vir nie. Gaat eet jou brood vir huis. Those who doesn't understand Afrikaans, you can look. Look is free and looking is cheap. But you're going to go home and you're going to eat your bread at home. We're all human, guys. Don't make us as you don't look. Girls, don't make us as you don't look. We're all human, eh? Because you're dummy. I'm not living on my own planet where I'm the only one that do things wrong. You all do the same things I do. All right? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not advocating long neck, looking at everything. But you catch what I'm saying. Guys, when the right one comes, the game is over. I'm going to tell you something in closure. When I met my wife, I was dating another girl in this church. Hayden, you told me to go here tonight. So I'm going there. I was dating a girl in this church. I was dating another girl in Shofar Joburg. And I was dating a third one that was in a sister church in Barclay East. In between that love triangle, I met Amelia. It became a love square. And guys, that's a problem. Because Joburg and Pretoria ain't that far from each other. And we had a Liberty seminar here, and Shofar Joburg joined us, and oh, who's one of the facilitators? Help me, toch, he comes in with the Joburg team, and this one is here with the Pretoria team. Lucky enough, Barclay East is in the Eastern Cape, so that was very far away, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for bringing some peace and order to everything. And Amelia at that stage found me interesting, so she decided also to come check out facilitation because Sean's dead. So that was one of the most interesting deliverance sessions. I got delivered that day from my nonsense. I'm not saying what I did was right. I'm sharing some of my faults with you. I pushed things too far at a stage. But now let me show you God's grace. Amidst all of that madness, like, guys, please don't go try to do this because God showed me grace. And it's, I can't promise you He's not going to show you judgment. All right, so please don't use this as the winning recipe. I just want to show you God's heart. That day at Liberty, I realized I'm doing all of these girls an injustice. And when this session was done, I took them all outside. I apologized to them. I said, I'm really sorry for what I'm doing. This is what's going on. I sincerely apologize. I'm a broken individual that is finding wholeness in knowing that there are ladies that are still interested in me. It's filling a void in me that is empty that the Lord has revealed to me. I repent for what I did. I apologize. I'm going to take some time out. I'm going to allow the Lord to make me whole. Can you forgive me? They forgave me eventually. Through all of that, there was one girl that wasn't really part of it who thought I was okay, who saw potential in me. She witnessed that, and that day she decided, this man, I'm sticking with him. That's my wife. And that's the grace of God. So amidst our mistakes, God is bigger, God is stronger, God is sovereign. You see, when I said the plans He has for your life, is orchestrated with absolute perfection. Met the right one, I chose the one, she is the one, and it's got God's seal of blessing on it. Don't throw yourself at every individual. I made mistakes. If you do, repent like I did. It's the right thing to do. But guys, what I'm saying is, just go out and enjoy life. It's meant to be life. Christ paid the price for this. Just enjoy yourself. I hope that somehow tonight, amongst all the chaos, because I touched at a few things tonight and I couldn't speak too long, I trust that somewhere the Lord is planting seeds in all of the hearts tonight. God bless all of you, and I trust next year. Is it the end here? Yeah. Yuri! And you're joking.
Cool. Thanks, Savo. Okay, cool. So we've got about 10 minutes left until half past. So the Q&As can go as long as you guys want it to go. And obviously as long as the panel is willing to stay. So we're going to have Sean, Michael, and Suzette that spoke tonight on the panel. And then Hanay, definitely the most good-looking on the panel, is my wife, and she's going to be joining as well. So please, we're not going to have someone sifting the questions. I'm not going to go around and ask you what your question is before you say it. So please, let's just be appropriate for the area that we're in. So please, if you're going to ask a question that is inappropriate, they're just not going to answer it, and they're going to tell you it's inappropriate. Okay, so you're going to feel awkward as well. But pretty much, you don't have to ask questions on the topic. It can be a random question as well. Try and keep it relationship-based. And then we'll pass this mic around for the questions. Otherwise, you can just shout. Okay, cool. Who's got the first question?
Hello? Can you hear me? I don't know who wants to answer, but can you maybe just speak about the sufficiency of Christ in our life? And how that sort of relates to our sort of natural desire for a relationship. We all somehow or other have a desire for a relationship, but at the same time we know Christ is sufficient, so it's almost like a paradox. Can you speak about that?
Okay. The sufficiency of Christ in our lives. Guys, every single one of us that's sitting here is going to desire relationship, you're going to desire intimacy. It's the way you're wired, it's the way you were put together, it's the way you were forged in Christ. He creates you with a desire to be understood and a desire to be loved, as well as with the ability to understand and the ability to give love. You catch what I'm saying? So that is wired into your genetics. Why is it like that? Because we were created by someone that dwells in relationship, someone that dwells in fellowship. That is the way our triune God is put together. We created in the image of Christ, in the image of God, so we are similar to Him in that way. We're going to have these desires. It's wired in us. We need to know that, as I said before, we can't fulfill that desire towards someone else if we haven't fulfilled that desire towards the one that has forged us. That's why I said to you, it's important to understand Christ is sufficient to fill your voids. Now this is a difficult thing maybe to understand, because I've got all these needs and I've got Christ in my life and I feel so full, yet I'm still not content. I've got a question for you. What are you full of? Are you full of Christ or are you full of religion? You need to think about that. Because if you're telling me you're full of Christ, but you're not content, then you need to reassess this full of Christ. I'd like to think you're rather you're full of religion. And once you overcome that, and you meet with the heart of Christ, those voids, those initial voids will be filled, and that will prep you to transcend to a place where you can offer that relationship and intimacy to someone else. Does that answer your question?
You asked how important. In a relationship or being married? Okay, I think there are different stages of a relationship, first of all. So I think sometimes we have a huge expectation that, I remember with us, when we started dating, I was actually a bit uncomfortable because I couldn't speak in tongues. And then Michael wanted us to pray together. And then he would just like start speaking in tongues. And I'm like, so then I really just felt uncomfortable at the start, but I think you have this expectation that you need to pray together, and it's not wrong, but you don't need to pressurize it. So I think it needs to happen naturally. For example, you can first just share your testimonies, and then just go out for a while and get to know one another, and then maybe give thanks to the Lord for his blessings and getting to know each other, and maybe praying, maybe going out on a mission together or going out serving together and praying for other people, but not putting all the pressure on, because I remember it was a lot of pressure for me to be alone, and then I have the spiritual experience together, and then praying in tongues, and then worshiping, and it was too much for me. So it didn't make it better or more serious because we were praying together or not praying together. I think you must just not have that expectation that it's going to be perfect, and that you will have the same experience as you have with your girlfriends or with your small group. So it's a very unique place that develops how your relationship develops naturally, I would say. And when you get married and you make covenant, then it's a whole nother experience. That is something very special and very pure, and yeah, something that you can all look forward to. But do not pressurize it. Yeah, let it just happen naturally.
I just want to add to that. It's actually, now that I think about it, it's actually very simple, because in the same way that your relationship grows from a friendship into a relationship, into a marriage, I think it can be similar to that in that way. Emma actually just also wants an opportunity to speak. But guys, are you not praying? Did we not ask you to pray? No, but just in, yeah, I just want to share. Really, the only thing for me that I think the focus of your prayer, if you want to pray together and you want to read the word together, that's fine. I don't think in a relationship it should be replacing the time with God, personally. And I don't think that it should be focused on dealing with all of your issues together. That's really the simplest thing. So if you're praying together for other people, that's great. If you, you know, yeah, that's really the short answer. Okay, I'll say what I think. So you phrased it, do you think that you can make a mistake by choosing the person that God does not want for you? Yes, definitely, you can. But I don't believe, I just put the focus on, I believe that God will tell you that this is not the person. God will not necessarily tell you that this is the person. So that's the key to understand, is that God will not let you
go unwarned into a situation we shouldn't be in. And I have lots of people that have lots of testimonies like that. And even in my own life, there's also like that. I do believe that if you make a covenant with someone, then God will bless it. Because God is a covenantal God. And He will bless it. So if you, you know, if you're going to work at it, but obviously if you marry someone who's not saved, and you make that decision, then, you know, then there aren't guarantees, because God cannot force that person to stay married to you and to be committed, because he's not going to do that.
Well, I just want to add, when I met Josh, I had a lot of things that I wanted in a husband, not worldly things, that I didn't even know. So things that were important to me were that, you know, obviously he has to be older than me, that were very important, and he has to be working, and things like that. And then I met Josh, and he's younger than me, and he was still a student, so it just didn't fit into my box. And I went away for a week where I didn't have any signal, so we didn't speak and we weren't dating then. And I spoke to God about it, because I was so challenged with that, and I thought, but this is not at all the picture that I had of someone, you know, that I was going to marry. And I asked God, like, is this who we want him to marry? And he told me that, you know, if I don't have to choose Josh, I can choose someone else that ticks all my boxes. But if I want to be with someone that's going to build the kingdom with me, then this is Josh. And that was very clear for me. So he also told me, like, if I don't want to choose him, he will bless it, and I can be happy. But if I choose Josh, it will be someone that can build the kingdom.
I just want to qualify something. Please just don't exhaust yourself. That's important. We've got too many burnt out Christians as well. Running after the heart of God and doing life. Let's call this whole dating thing doing life, because that's what's right. We can't see it as being too contradictory entities, you know what I mean? Because if we're going to see life in abundance and serving God as being two facets of what we do, you're going to have a fundamental problem in the way you mature as a Christian, because then you're not authentic to who you are. You're either one or you're the other, because you're holding two very sort of contradicting aspects before me, yeah? As if this thing could be maybe a little ungodly, and running after God is godly, then there's a foundational problem, because your dating and your doing life should be godly, if you understand what I mean. There shouldn't be anything in life which is an abomination to God. You know what I mean? I can't do something every single day of the week that I know displeases God.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.